Finovate showcases cutting-edge banking and financial technology through a global conference series featuring short-form demos and thought leadership. Now, the conversation continues on the Finovate podcast.
Thanks for joining me on the Finovate podcast. Joining me today, we have Brad Bernstein, managing partner at FTV Capital, a growth equity investment firm with $4 billion in assets under management. Brad, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thanks for having me, Greg.
So I think let's start with just kind of a quick distinction, because growth equity investment is a little bit different from traditional venture capital. Can you talk about what that difference is?
Absolutely. So first of all, we are looking for more mature businesses where the market has been proven, the product has been proven, the business has achieved a level of success that you can understand the unit economics, and really the core risk we're looking to take is execution risk on scaling the business. And so what you find is that we invest in many companies that were bootstrapped by entrepreneurs rather than backed by venture firms. And we invest in a lot of businesses that are profitable or near profitability. And so the risk profile is a little bit different than venture. Our average portfolio company grows at about 40% a year if you looked at our last two funds. And as a result, we have much lower losses. And we're not necessarily shooting for unicorns, but lots of consistent, successful, attractive businesses.
I love that mentality. I think that's really an intelligent way of doing business. And also, you mentioned kind of the network that you guys have around different financial institutions that gives you some insight into what they're thinking. Can you talk a little bit about that as well?
Sure. So, Greg, what makes FTV unique, and really since our founding 22 years ago, is that FTV was set up as Financial Technology Ventures to be a specialist at the beginning of fintech, where we built out a strategic network that today stands at about 400 executives across 150 financial services firms in the Fortune 2000, across asset management, insurance, banking, wealth management, payments of all kinds, transaction processing. And we are talking to them on a regular basis. We have a dedicated business development team that engages with them and shares our view of what we're seeing out in the market, and they share with us their pain points, their needs, their opportunities. And so we invest through that lens to try to find companies that can serve them. We're able to then go to them for validation and due diligence. And then after we close our investment, we have a full effort around business development to help introduce the companies to that strategic network, and it's created enormous value for our portfolio.
Yeah, I mean, I have to imagine that's true. That's such a unique asset to have. And I have to believe that that's a really big differentiator and game changer for the companies that work with you. So, I mean, let's get into really the elephant in the room right now. Obviously, in the wake of COVID-19, the big question surrounding fintech, I think, is what happens to the sources of funding and investment for fintech companies who are at that age where they're ready to scale up? And let's start by getting into what FTV is doing right now. Have you been able to stay active over the last couple of months and continue to make investments?
Absolutely. I mean, we've actually been incredibly busy over the last 12 months generally, but even since COVID, we've announced, I think, three transactions that are about to close three more. We are, with $400 million invested in this environment, we are not slowing down, and we think there are a lot of interesting opportunities. I think the key is that this is a market where COVID is such a unique crisis. You really have to separate out and segment very specific markets, some of which are benefiting and some of which are getting badly hurt. In our case, we really focus on enterprise solutions, which fit with our strategic network. And those companies that are enterprise facing have really held up particularly well. Whereas I think people who are more on the consumer side of fintech, particularly on the lending side, are in a different position. And so you really have to dig in and parse how they're being affected, what their outlook is going to be. But we are seeing quite a few businesses that are actually accelerating through this environment. We have a number of portfolio companies where June was literally the best month they've ever had, and feel really good about their ability to continue to be successful in this environment.
I think this really gets to the heart of one of the things that we hear a lot. People sometimes refer to the fintech as an industry as though it's a unified block, but clearly it's not. There are different subsets of fintech, different elements of it that are working on solving different problems. And what you're describing lines up very well with the feedback that I've been getting from some of the past Finovate presenters around, you know, how the last couple of months have really accelerated the growth curves of some companies, particularly companies who have been kind of over the last couple of years saying, you know, we can do this for you guys. You really should get involved. You know, from a bank standpoint, you need to be updating your technology stack. And there's been this hesitancy on the part of some financial institutions to do that. And obviously, over the last couple of months, that hesitancy has completely vanished. And now it's been replaced by this urgency. And so companies who are well poised to succeed there are in a great spot. But to your other point, there are certainly, you know, downsides of it as well. But coming back to, you know, the last couple of years, one thing that I was hearing a lot of back in 2019 and 2018 is the sense that maybe the equity investment market was overheated, you know, we maybe leading to an overextension of funds. Nobody was predicting anything like what we've seen so far in 2020. But do you think that we were due for a course correction to some extent? Or do you think that we'll get back up to this kind of 2019, 2018 levels of funding once everything else settles down again?
So look, I think that this has definitely set off the alarm bell for a lot of investors that they have to be more disciplined. They have to be more thoughtful about the underlying business and really think about risk reward a little differently than they were in 2019. However, there's an enormous amount of dry gunpowder out there. The money is locked up. People are still looking to deploy that capital. And I think you're going to see plenty of activity. I think Q2, people were in shock. They needed to kind of recalibrate, make sure their portfolio was in good shape, and kind of position themselves to kind of think through what is going to be the longer term implications of COVID. But I am seeing things pick up. I'm seeing strategics starting to come back and be interested in our portfolio. We're seeing larger funds interested in our portfolio. So I think you're going to see activity gaining momentum in the second half of the year. At the same time, look, you know, it's also going to be important to be able to underwrite deals. And if there's another significant spike in COVID in the fall, and we start to see the economy, you know, retrenching again, that's going to be an important thing to monitor. So, you know, my advice to people in that context is to really plan to be able to weather storms, capitalize, to be in a position to be healthy through, you know, through and navigate through whatever may come in the fall.
Sure. Well, obviously, the uncertainty is really difficult to plan for. And I think that's where a lot of people on all sides of the fintech financial institution dynamic are, you know, maybe understandably in this moment where they think, I just want to freeze. I'm a little scared. I don't want to do anything right now. And I think, you know, it sounds like you're sort of recommending that that's not the time to freeze, that if you, you know, there are opportunities that are out there. And if you're able to capitalize on them, this can be a substantial growth opportunity for you. It's just that you have to be conscious of the fact that there are still uncertainties and risks out there. But once we get past that, assuming that there is a get past that, I think we all sort of, at least optimistically, hope that there will be a post-COVID reality when we can return to what, you know, something close to business as usual. What does that new normal look like? Will there be kind of lasting effects on the capital markets in fintech? Or will we just sort of get past this and think, you know, that was a weird couple of years. Man, I'm glad I don't have to do that anymore. I think it's a really difficult question. But, and you know, to be totally honest, we're not going to hold you accountable for this. I'm not going to come back to you in 2 years and be like, you see, Brad, I told you. But I am curious, you know, what your predictions would be, you know, 18 months, yeah, 2 years, listen, down the line.
Absolutely. I mean, look, when you look at the continued not to get too macro, but if you look at the quantitative easing and you look at all the federal government stimulus and you look at all the capital that's already committed to funds, I'm sure that there will be a lot of excess froth in the market generally, just by virtue of, you know, the money supply. That being said, I think, you know, you have to really be sensitive to the fact that there are a lot of companies that raise a lot of money at high valuations, and now they're in an unenviable position of being a zombie where their growth and their performance doesn't live up to the valuation. They can't really sell. They can't raise more money without it being a significant down round. They're just in a really awkward place. So I think it's really key for entrepreneurs to be thoughtful about what's a realistic case, what's realistic expectations. How do I bring in a partner who's aligned around those expectations where we can make money in a rational way and, you know, not have to assume the sun and the moon align in order to get the kind of results we're looking for?
Well, and if this crisis does nothing else, I think that injection of like the reality into this, there's maybe slight hesitation to just blindly accept as much funding as you possibly can. Because for a long time, you know, this is one of the things we saw companies at Finovate, you know, there's a competitive crowd, right? These entrepreneurs are people who generally are really competitive with each other. And so they think, you know, more funding, more better. If I'm coming in with a $50 million funding round, that automatically moves me into unicorn status. And you think, okay, maybe for now, but long term, do you really need that money? Do you really need to take it right now? And have you thought through what that does to your exit? And obviously the prospect of being a zombie company is a scary one, I think, for pretty much every founder, or at least it should be. But let's, you know, we're coming up on the end of our time here, and I just want to make sure we get something kind of concrete for the fintech entrepreneurs who are listening. What advice would you have for fintechs right now who need capital injections to grow? You know, how can they make sure that they stand out from the crowd and get attention from a firm like FTV and make sure, sure, they find that right partner?
Absolutely. Well, the first thing I would say is it's critical to really shop for the right partner and really try to figure out which investors can not only provide you capital and a great valuation, but also add a lot of value to your business. And so take the time to meet them. You know, we typically meet companies 24 months in advance of when we actually invest them. And we enjoy getting to know entrepreneurs over time, building trust and collaborating before they even need capital. Second, you know, don't waste a crisis. It's a great opportunity to sharpen your cost structure, to go out to clients and prospective clients and remind them that, hey, we have a great value prop. This is the time to do these things that are going to make your business that much stronger down the road. And third, really plan in advance. Don't overfund, but make sure you have a nice runway, good cushion, and have the capital to grow the size of the pie. Don't obsess over the last dollar.
I think if there's one line I'm going to take away from this, it's going to be that don't waste a crisis. I think that's a really smart way of thinking about it, because there are things that you can only do in these types of moments. And for companies that use them well, they're going to be very well set up when we return to whatever that new normal ends up looking like. But well, Brad, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me again. It was really interesting, and hopefully our fintech entrepreneurs listening found some good value out of it. Thanks for the time.
Thank you, Greg. Appreciate the time as well.
The Finovate podcast is produced by Informa Connect in association with Provoke.fm Media. Check out Finovate.com for information on Finovate's upcoming shows and to learn how you can get involved. The discount code Finovate Podcast will save you 20% on tickets to all of our events. And you can email us at info@finovate.com for information on sponsoring, speaking, or demoing. Thanks for listening.